All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt
and Jake here.
And we're coming, also joining with us is
Jody Odell. Walk like a Hebrew.
All right, Jody, we appreciate you being here today for part two of our interview. And we're doing a Torah apologetic series. And Jody has a podcast. Jody, tell us about your podcast, how they can find you, and the things you're looking for and the things you do.
Okay. Well, my podcast is called Walk Like a Hebrew. And on that podcast, I share people's coming to Torah stories. You can find me on Facebook at Walk Like a Hebrew and Instagram also at Walk Like a Hebrew. My website is called SheHoldsForth.com, where the podcast is also also posted. And I believe I'm on every podcast platform that one could possibly want to engage with. Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere that you go for podcasts, even Google Podcasts, I believe Walk Like a Hebrew is there.
All right. Well, great. Yeah, I found you. Somebody on Facebook shared it, and I went and listened to it and found it to be very, very awesome. And I appreciate you doing what you do and feeling the need to tell these stories. And I'm honored to, Jake and I both are honored to be a part of it and to know you now and to make this connection. So I found, you know, that you definitely have something to contribute and help us with. You know, we are the first to claim we don't have all the answers here. If you're looking for all the answers, you know, that's not going to be
that's
this.
In the Bible. Yeah.
I don't have them either.
But we hope to maybe say some things that would encourage you to go read, just like Zach Bauer always says, go home, read your Bible. It's true.
Read your Bible.
That's what we need to be doing. And so even, you know, if this is keeping you from reading your Bible, we'll turn this off and read your Bible. So, you know, we do want to encourage you to do that. And so check her out, check out her website. And so we want to just jump right into, you know, and so we wanted her, Jake has a question. Jake, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah. So I found that, what you're doing with, you know, asking people about their stories and stuff, how did you come up with that as the idea for your podcast?
Well, right after Sukkot in 2019, I had spent the entire feast going from campfire to campfire where we at a camp out with a lot of other Torah keepers. And every time I showed up at a new campfire, the very first thing everybody would ask is, how did you get here? Where were you before? Tell me your story. I really want to know. And I learned something new from every single person that I talked to. I went home and I thought, why don't we just continue this tradition? Telling those stories is so helpful for new people who come in and they think, oh my gosh, am I crazy? Am I all alone in this? Am I the only person in the world? I don't know anybody anywhere. But then they can listen to somebody tell their story and they hear, you know, I was so excited and all the lights went on and I didn't have anybody to talk to and everybody I told thought I was crazy, but I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
It's helpful to know that you're not alone and that you're not crazy.
Yeah. Right.
That's helpful.
Let's go.
Yeah. When Matt showed me your podcast, I thought this is the perfect idea for a podcast because that is the first question you always ask people is, oh, well, how did you come to the Torah? And a lot of times it's, you know, the theme is always similar, but the how I got there is always very interesting.
Yes. So one of the themes that I have seen running through almost every interview is when a person comes to a place where they finally, sincerely ask the Father to show them the truth. Every single person, when they finally got to that point where they said, show me the truth, whether it's something that I already know or something completely different. I just want to know what the truth is.
That yeah.
Seems to be a common theme.
Yeah. I think interesting in the last episode that we did with you, you had mentioned how, Cherie had said to you that, are you sure about, Sabbath keeping? And mm-hmm. It's very similar to how, one of the questions my wife came to was, she was asked a question or I probably by my sister, and she was like, "Oh, well, that's very simple to prove. Obviously, I know the answer to that, you know." And she's like, so she went home and started looking at it, and she's like, "This is not as simple as I thought it was."
Right. So. Right. It's humbling. It's very humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny now. At the time, it wasn't so funny. At the time,
no,
I was irritated as could be. They lied to me all these years. Yeah. The church has been lying to me. Well, they didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't for the church, we wouldn't know Yeshua.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think that's a common feeling too, is, you know, especially with us, it was, oh, they've been lying to us this whole time. You know, we've been fed all these lies. And we didn't blame the church. We blamed, you know, the system, basically. Yeah. Is this system has been lying to us. So we kind of cold turkey shut everything down. We're like, nothing's coming into the house unless it's, you know, unless we've read it, you know. And so it was, we didn't want to look at any kind of Judaism stuff. Like, because you get into the feast and you're like, well, how do I do this? Well, these guys know, they've been doing it. So we didn't want to really do that. And we were like, well, Christianity, we know, has really fumbled the ball here. So it's a lot of relying on the Holy Spirit, I think, which is the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the other questions we had here was, do you run across many quote unquote unchurched converts or people that, you know, tell their story from that perspective?
I have run across a few. Yes. One in particular who I have not interviewed yet, but I'm hoping to, came from a completely agnostic background, and she actually stumbled across, Torah observance because she has an autistic child, and in her research trying to find help for her autistic daughter, she stumbled across people who were Torah keepers and was intrigued by what they had to say and started reading the Bible. And so she came to it. She'd never been to church. She didn't have any background in any kind of religion at all. Grew up in a completely unchurched household. And is one of the most dedicated Torah keepers that I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I found in my walk that, you know, we're in the Bible Belt and in the South here in Texas. And, you know, a lot of people that I interact with that are church, they have so much baggage that they have a really hard time hearing what I'm saying or understanding any of it. And I found sometimes that people without a church background or even agnostic or maybe even atheist, they're more respectful and ask great questions sometimes. Yes. That I'm just like, wow, that is such a good question. Nobody else asked me that question. And
right.
You know, I've been out to eat with them before and they're like, oh, wait, I generally eat this with pork. Is that going to offend you? You know, they ask that and, you know, nobody else asked that. And I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yes, well, the people who I know who are mainstream Christians absolutely despise our clean eating.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And you're right; it's the unchurched who are more respectful.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I found that it's real. I find that whole concept of an unchurched person coming to Torah as a big gap in the teachings I see online and what people are posting online. I don't see a whole lot of people reaching out to unchurched people. And I think there's this reliance on, well, we have the Bible in common, so it's easy to go to a churched person and find commonality and then start changing things from there in their mindset. But this whole, I'm just think that's interesting and wanted your perspective on that because I don't see a whole lot of,
well, and what strategies do you think exist, you know, that we should consider and how we approach someone like this?
Well, the person that I was speaking of, she didn't have anybody to kind of guide her in anything. She didn't have church family. She doesn't really have much family, period. And didn't know anybody else who was a Torah keeper. All she learned, she came across the idea online and went and bought herself a Bible at a thrift shop and started reading.
Wow.
And that was that. And she read the whole thing from front to back. And so fitting Torah and grace together was so easy for her.
Yeah.
Because it made sense. She didn't have to unlearn anything. She didn't have to put down any baggage. She, you know, she didn't have any kind of dichotomies in her mind that she had to argue or figure out a way around.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us, it was very simple for her. And then she got into online community, and then she came into a physical fellowship, and that was that.
Wow.
She has great insights on a lot of things.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely would be a great, great person. I'd like to hear that. So let us know when you do that.
I will.
And so the other question we had was, do you see this Torah movement, if you will, do you see this as a nationwide movement, or are there certain pockets in the country or the world where you see it more predominantly in the people you interview?
Like, clearly it is a nationwide thing going on, but are there people like,
in Arkansas more?
Yeah, or coming Texas from a specific area more.
People are going to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Torah keepers are, I personally know at least a half dozen just in the last 6 months that left for Arkansas. It's not just even nationwide, it's worldwide. I mean, when we first started in 2014, we looked at the 119 Ministries map, the Fellowship Finder map. And I just went back and looked at it again about a year ago, and it has exploded all over the world. When you zoom out, it's a very full map. When you zoom in, I think there are pockets. West Coast, where I am, it's definitely exploding on the West Coast.
That's awesome.
It is fantastic. It is awesome. You believe it or not, the West Coast is mostly made up of very conservative, God-loving people. You have your strongholds in your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
The Bay Area, Los Angeles, Silicon Valley, Portland, Seattle.
Yeah.
those are the places and the people that would be anti-Torah are mostly confined to those pockets. But the rest of the West Coast are just regular people. You know, they're just like the people in the South. They're just like the people in the Northwest and the Midwest. They love God. They love their families. They want to work hard. They just happen to live in a place where the government is not so
on their side, right?
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad you brought that out. You know, it is easy to, especially in Texas, to frame the left coast, if you will, as a certain way. You know, we tend to do that. It's easy to do. So,
yes, it is.
But that is interesting. And I do feel like people around the world are waking up, and a lot of people have come into this 2014. I mean, and there's kind of a window where you see it kind of emerging, but we've also ran into people like Uncle Mike or Torah Mike, like we like to call him. That's kind of what Jake and I have in common.
Yeah.
And he's been in it a long time.
Yeah.
You know, really long time. So there've been definitely waves to this. And, he came into it at a time when the rest of us hadn't even heard about it. You know, we didn't even know what they were talking about. Never even heard of it.
Yeah. Well, my personal mentors, the Custers, I also interviewed them on the podcast. They've been 30 years, maybe even longer.
Wow.
And they have run the whole gamut from when it was just brand new and they didn't know what to do. There was nobody before the internet. It was much more difficult
to
find like-minded believers.
Wow.
Well, something that I'd been that kind of escaped me on our first episode together was this idea of another technique we've learned in sales is we talked in the first one about asking questions and listening and waiting for a response and not feeling like you got to fill up the air with your voice, which but this other concept of go ahead and pick out the things that you know are going to be objections. Pick them out ahead of time, know what they are, and know how to address them. And in sales, the way we do that is when someone brings up an objection, we know what the objections are typically, and we go, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. And you take them on head on. You don't try to run away, because if you run away from it, they aren't going to believe what you say because you're scared and maybe you shouldn't be talking right now. Maybe you should just wait. And so, and that's okay. Sometimes you need to hear that and you have to wait. But do you have any ideas of, can you think of, especially when it comes to the unchurched converts, are there some things we should consider having answers for that they're going to bring up, that they're going to ask? I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I know I just put you on the spot there.
I actually have given this quite a bit of thought. I do have family who were atheists. And the number one objection was, why do you even believe that there is a God? Why do you even believe there's a God? What do you see in the world that gives you the idea that this isn't all just a cosmic accident? And that's a big one, because generally if somebody believes in God, they're going to have some kind of faith practice, some kind. And people who are unchurched, they may be people who went to church when they were kids and something happened and they didn't go to church anymore, or they just were never interested. But for a lot of them, it's because they truly do not believe there is a God. And that, I think, is probably a really big objection, because without God, what do we have to talk about? You know?
Right. Well, and I think even an atheist has faith practice that they're implementing, but they don't realize it.
They don't realize it. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Mm. Anything else have you thought about? That's great. So we're going to mark that. We're going to take that and run with that on a different time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, that is great. And I think that it's important, like you talked about earlier, to make sure, you said it best when you talked about be kind, compassionate, you know, show those fruits of the spirit,
yes.
Lead in love, and start that as your basis. Don't immediately get the boxing gloves out and get ready to go to fight. And that's for some of us, we like to argue. A little bit, you know. I'm one of them. I like to argue. It's fun.
It can be, yes.
But not everyone else thinks it's fun. No, and it's not okay for it to be fun to drive someone away. You know, two mature people, we can probably have an argument, walk away, and we don't hate each other. But you have to have that relationship first. And I think just that's true across anybody that we want to try to tell about, there's a relationship piece that's very important to all this. And if we don't have that, just like Paul said, without love, you're just a noisy cymbal.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
But we're irritating. Running. Yeah. Yeah. We're right. Running out of time here a little bit. We want to try to keep these short and sweet. And so, what else? Is there anything else you want to say, either one of you, about this, about things you're thinking? Or
not really, but, for this episode, but in a later episode, it'd be interesting to get your perspective on things that maybe you've tried that haven't worked, or
things that
we may have like ruined our our witness in a way, or something like that. And
yes, I've got a good long list.
Okay.
A good long list of what not to do.
Is that probably more than what we can do in this time, probably. So, so let's just plan on doing that in a future episode, and we'll get together on that and discuss it. So we'll get tell us again how to find you and what they need to do.
Okay. I'm on Facebook, Walk Like a Hebrew. I'm on Instagram, Walk Like a Hebrew. And I have a website, sheholdsforth.com.
All right.
And you can find the podcast pretty much any podcast app or podcast provider. Send me a message, listen to the podcast, share, like, review. If you think I'm doing an awful job, please tell me what I can do better.
Yeah.
If you like it,
yeah.
If you like it, say so. I love to hear affirmation. Thank you.
Oh, definitely. And we share all that as well. And we hope that this has been beneficial, and we appreciate your time. Time is so valuable. It's
so
precious.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's the one commodity that you can't buy and you can't sell. You know, and the reason we're here and the reason we're talking about what we're talking about is because I'm telling you, time is short.
And
time is running out, and there are people that are so lost, and we need to figure out how, you know, this movement that we're a part of has been so much about us, and now it's time to give back, and this is how we're going to give back. It's time to start giving back. It's time to start being confident, and if you're not confident in talking, you need to get there. You need to do the work, put in the homework, put the time in, turn off TV, whatever it is that's keeping you from learning.
Bible.
Yep.
Have an answer.
Yep.
Read the Bible.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's what we're encouraging to do. That's the point here, is we want you to dive deep and start looking for people. And we want to especially try to catch maybe people that are new in this, try to catch you before you say all the bad things that we've said.
Oh, right. Yes.
And maybe save you some, you know, and I do want to share one really positive thing that I meant to say earlier. Is the first time my parents came to our Torah fellowship, I said, hey, we're going to do a Bible study. It's at my house. Done. I didn't say anything else. I didn't call it any weird name. I didn't, you know, and they were fine. They came and they were like, oh, cool. They do a Bible study.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to start.
Thank you.
And so one of our topics is jargon, and you know, and we'll do that in the future, but you know, we're really guilty of using all this jargon, and people don't know what you're talking about. And in general, people run away from that and like, I don't know, that's weird. I don't know what you're saying. And I'm feeling judged.
It was bad enough in Christianity, all the Christianese, and now we get into this Hebraic thing and everybody's
Speaking Hebrew all of a sudden, nobody knows what's happening. That's right. It's another level. And half the times, some of us trying to speak Hebrew don't even know really what we're saying, but we sound smart to our peers.
We do.
But anyway,
we think we do.
That's right. Well, Jody, we really appreciate your time, and we look forward to another visit with you. Thank you for stopping by.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.